train the soul around. Turn up the dial, kick back, we're freedom bound. So pack up your bags and throw me the key.
Welcome to episode 34 of Women of the Wagons. I'm Cass Patterson, and we are officially two, technically three, shows into the 2022 season. Three if you include the Yorkton Classic. Now, this episode that you are about to hear, or this interview you are about to hear, I recorded during spring training, basically right before the Pinoca Stampede tarp sale. So you'll hear us talk a little more about spring training than you will about actual, you know, events and wagon racing, but those episodes are coming up. I'm excited to have this interview. Ashley was, I'm pretty sure, a little scared when I asked her to do this episode, but she came on and we had some fun and some laughs, and it was interesting to hear her take, having grown up not only in the sport, but now having married into it and starting basically a new team with Ray. So without further ado, here's my interview with Ashley Crotto. And we are on the line with Ashley Crotto. How are you doing today, Ashley?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. 28 days till wagon season. I'm ready to go. How about you?
Don't say that to me. That stresses me out.
Have you even looked at the trailer yet?
Yes, I got in there and I cleaned it all. I just have not packed it yet. That's bottom of my priority list right now.
Exactly. See, you don't even have to worry. You're good. You did the cleaning. That's like the worst of it, right?
Yeah. Step one done.
So, I mean, I kind of gave you a heart attack when I originally asked you to do the interview. So I'm glad that, you know, you accepted. So you have a really interesting story with the wagons because you grew up in it through, you know, your family and your extended family, and then you're now raising your daughter Hadley in it. So I think it's a very cool storyline. Before we kind of get into, you know, your later years and, you know, this time of your life, let's go back to when you were younger and what part the wagons played in your growing up.
Sure. Yeah. I guess we've been doing it for as long as I can remember. My dad did race chariots when I was really small. I don't really remember that part, but I grew up following it with my Uncle Vern and my Uncle Shane. They both raced, and Brendan and I are only a month and a half apart. That's Vern's youngest boy. So we were pretty inseparable growing up. So if he was going, I was going, and I was fortunate enough to just travel along with them and be in the barn and experience it all.
So you said when you were 15 that your parents bought a boat and got to go out to a lake, but you still went on the wagon trails. So was that like a hard toss up for you? Like go be in the water, go be with the horses?
Not a tough one at all. Where Brendan was, that's where I was. And wagons had the excitement and the fun and the freedom. So that's where I was going.
So do you have a favorite story of you and Brendan when you were little?
Oh my God. 1 year during spring training, we were quite young, probably like 7 or 8. We weren't very much help, obviously. So our thing was, there's a bunch of sloughs and ponds right around his house. So we'd go and catch frogs. We ended up catching, I don't know, 100 frogs that day. And we were told to go let them out, but instead we thought we could hide them in a tote in the barn so we could keep them for the weekend. And Vern was headed down to the barn to feed night oats, and he could hear like a ridiculous amount of croaking, and it was getting louder and louder as he got down to the old barn. So he stuck his head in and he found our stash of frogs, and we both got in trouble and told to go dump them out. So
you just wanted more pets. That's all you wanted.
Yeah.
So when you were 18, there was kind of a few things that happened in your life. Vern moved over to the WPCA, and then you also became a hairstylist. So you were working full-time in Meadow Lake, and then, you know, the WPCA is not exactly close to Meadow Lake, but you still somehow managed to go to all the shows. So I guess, what was the drive to go?
Yeah, I made it to majority of the shows. I'm sure I made my boss want to pull her hair out multiple times when I was trying to sneak out early or show up on Monday morning after a 4-hour drive. Yeah, we were like at least 4 hours from any show, 4 to 8, depending where they were. But I couldn't miss it. I couldn't miss out.
Did spending your time as a timer in the CPCA with your aunt kind of like also instill that in you? You just were so ingrained in it that you wanted to be there?
Yeah, I guess I just like found any way possible to make it seem like I needed to be there or that I had a purpose there. So if the CPCA offered me a job, I was like, yep, for sure, I'll take it. I'll make it work.
Now that you have Hadley and you're raising her in the wagon world, kind of what are you hoping that she gets out of it that you remember as a kid?
I don't know. I think that raising your kids at the wagons, there's no better place. They learn great social skills. They get to interact with different people every weekend. They have to have a work ethic. They have responsibility. It's a great place.
So Ray is coming back this year after 6 years off. And I screwed that up when I did my piece on him and I said 8 years. I'm trying to age him. I don't think he would appreciate that. But what was the conversation when he said, we're coming back? Because originally he was going to run in the CPCA and just, you know, do some running back in 2020 when we had tried to do that interview with him. And then we lost all his audio because for some reason, your guys' internet is way better now. I'm going to give you that.
We upgraded.
It was not that great then, but now 2022, you guys have your own outfit. They're your horses. What was the conversation and kind of what went through your mind?
Yeah, in 2020, he was just going to run the second outfit of BJ Carey's. He had extra horses, extra equipment, whatever. Ray was just going to kind of fill in that spot. Then they didn't race. So it kind of put a hold on that. And then we had conversations about not doing it and just traveling or going to the lake or trying different things. But then last summer, we spent majority of it with Chance and Brittany. And I think we both kind of got the itch. And then the opportunity came up. BJ called and said he was ready to be done. I'm not sure how I felt about it at the beginning. It's an investment. Time, money, everything. But Ray loves it and I love it. And we just decided to take the leap.
The first few days of having the horses on the property, what was that like?
Well, actually, BJ ran his last race on Sunday evening in Lloydminster and the horses were ours the next morning. He was gone to the shoe swaps. They were going houseboating with friends. So we were just tossed right into it. He left us Mitchell, his oldest son, to help clean everything up and get everything ready to be turned out for the winter. But it was a little bit overwhelming, not going to lie, but it was a lot of fun too.
You said that you kind of found one horse in that group that's kind of, you know, stolen your heart, but he also likes to like be your pet and get in the way of everything.
His name's Eights Are Wild is his paper name, I guess. He actually didn't come with that group of horses. He's ones that we just picked up from Lane Bremner. He had him out at his place. Yeah, he's a funny character. He likes to follow you around, stick his head on your shoulder, get in the way. I guess I kind of have a soft spot for him until I'm trying to get something done and he's on my back. But he's a cool horse.
You said you also had a favorite horse with your uncle Vern and his name was Cheers. So I'm kind of interested about this because you told me that he was a lead horse in his prime. So what was so special about Cheers?
Yeah, I don't know why I love this horse so much. I just always was attracted to him, I guess. He was a big bay horse, of course. He came from Vern's barn. That's what they all are. But he did this funny thing when we'd race in Calgary. He didn't super love his box stall, didn't super love people coming up to him all day or all night. So after chore time in the afternoon, I'd go and sit in front of his stall in a lawn chair and he'd lay his head on my lap and I'd rub the inside of his ears until race time. It was just kind of our thing.
So you were his favorite human, probably.
I like to think so.
So before we get into kind of the next part of this, I want to play the game that, you know, I feel like the guys actually hate this game because 9 times out of 10, we throw them under the bus. And then they don't want to do interviews with me for a little while after. Or maybe that was just Chance. Maybe it was just Chance didn't want to.
Ray's on Hadley duty, so he won't even hear this.
So let's start with who is the better driver between the two of you?
I'm going to say that I'm more cautious, but he can probably get us out of a situation a little better.
Who's most likely to speed, though?
Ray, for sure.
When the speeding tickets come in the mail, you're like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, we got one on our way to the GP tarp sale. I better pay that.
Well, there you go. That's a story to start off the season. Speaking of Miss Hadley, who would she say is probably the fun parent, even though she's
two? Her dad, big time. I'm authority, dad's fun.
Who would the two oldest girls say are the fun one in the house?
Me. I'm the one that takes them for pedicures or go shopping. Dad's all about work with the older ones.
So give it a few years. Hadley will, it'll switch.
Yeah, it'll switch.
Who has the worst FOMO?
Me, definitely.
So you were really missing it when you were getting like Snapchats and that, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, big time.
Who's the more like clean one? Like who needs everything to be spotless?
Me, it drives Ray crazy. You'll be like, okay, we gotta go feed horses or we gotta go do something and I'm trying to clean up whatever, and he's like, that's not priority right now. Okay.
So have you gotten your hands on the barn yet and like organized that, or are you gonna leave that to him and you'll just take care of the trailer?
We actually got a mini sea can that we mounted on the back of our semi that's gonna be half open and half tack room, so I've already kind of gone through totes and sorted and picked out what we need. I actually have a load of wraps in the dryer right now. I'm getting it ready.
Oh, I love it. So it's a drone box, basically.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Who's better at social media?
That's a tough one. Probably Ray. He's pretty good. He's well-spoken, good at editing. He's got it together.
Who spends more time on social media?
Ray. Again. Oh no, he heard that one.
Final one. Who's a better cook?
I think me in the house, him on the grill.
I enjoy how Hadley said mama before that, so.
Yeah, she's listening at the corner here.
So this year is like your guys' first spring training year together. And it's been really fun to kind of watch some of the videos that you guys have posted and seeing the different things that are going on. So what do you think has been the biggest lesson or the biggest change from you going from, you know, your uncle's place to now doing it with your own barn?
I think Vern and Ray actually have a lot of similarities when it comes to spring training or their expectations, I guess. I didn't do very much with Vern. He had Brett and Brendan and they're pretty handy. So I was mostly there to just kind of hang out, clean barn. With Ray, there's days where it's just the two of us. So you have to put your hands on it and get in there. I'm learning a lot.
Okay. So I like truck training and I like to, whoever says want to come truck train, I say yes. But what's your favorite part? Is it truck training? Is it watching them hook? Kind of what interests you the most?
Truck training's a nice way to spend the evening when you have a little one. It's easy to just toss her in and go. But I do prefer hooking. It's fun to see those new ones get hooked up for the first time or try out different positions on the wagon. Yeah, I think hooking's got me.
Does Hadley fall asleep while you truck train, or is she pretty attentive to the horses?
Hadley has FOMO too, so she's got to be standing up and looking and yelling out the window at them. There's been a couple nights where I pack supper to the truck and that's where we eat.
Does she get FOMO when Ray goes out to do something and she's stuck in the house?
Oh yeah, big time. She's standing at the door yelling at him, Dad, Dad.
Like, wait, I'm standing right here. Come on.
Yeah, trying to put her boots on and get out there too.
So in 2021, you guys got married. What was it like planning a wedding during kind of this COVID craziness?
Yeah, it was not fun. We got married on September 25th. There was just so many things that were always up in the air that I just kind of got to the point where we got married at the Lloyd X. So we had a really good lady there that helped us out. And Sherry would call me and she'd be like, do we want to say this? And if something changes, we'll go with this. And I'm like, yep, yeah, for sure. Sounds good. Whatever you think. We'll make it run smooth. You've done this before. You give her.
Well, that sounds like fun. At least you had someone good to, you know, do it with and to kind of have that relationship with.
Yeah. So now this fall, Alyssa and Josh are getting married and she's asking me questions or how'd you do your guest list and how'd you sort this? And I was just like, honestly, Alyssa, I just got overwhelmed and fed up with COVID and restrictions and numbers changing that I stopped tracking everything and I just decided, you know what, whoever shows up, and we'll just have a good time.
So this year, are you going to try to find a barn hand, or is it going to be 100% a family endeavor?
We do have a barn hand, and it will be a family endeavor. He's my little cousin, Lindsay. That's Shane's youngest boy. He's graduating this year, so he's been over helping with spring training, and he's excited to hit the road too.
What show are you most excited to go to?
I think Strathmore. I love Strathmore because I have family there, and it's always like a fun fair, good things for the kids to do. It feels homey.
We had fun in Strathmore last year. We got to hang out a little bit. It was fun.
Yes, I have fun everywhere.
Hey, Strathmore, I had 5 minutes to breathe. Give me a break. You said that in 2019, you took a bit of a change in your career path. You went from being behind a chair to then you got to sit in a chair. What made that change happen?
I was working at a salon in Meadow Lake, and I decided that I wanted to move, try a different place, meet some new people. So I packed up and I moved to Lloydminster, and I actually started off as a field safety for an oil field company, and then they were shorthanded in the office and they asked me if I'd come in for a couple of days and help them catch up on some invoicing and tickets and stuff. So I did that, and it was getting to be the end of October and getting chilly outside. So when they asked me if I wanted to stay in the office, I was gung-ho for that. And then when I moved back to Meadow Lake, I got a job offer with another oil field construction company doing pretty much the same thing. So I enjoy it. It's good.
That's really fun. I don't know. I like computer stuff. So how did you and Ray meet?
Well, I obviously knew who Ray was beforehand from the wagon world. So he popped up on People You May Know on Facebook, you know, that little thing that scrolls across the bottom of your screen. And I was just like, oh, Ray Corrado, I haven't heard anything about this guy in a long time. And I clicked on him and I was creeping him a little bit. I was just like, what the heck? So I messaged Chance Flatt and I was like, is Ray single? And he was like, oh my God, Ashley. And I was just like, hey, I'm just asking. He's like, yeah, he is. I was like, okay, interesting. So I added Ray on Facebook and he was quick to add me back. And then I kind of just got shy and left it at that. And about an hour later, he added me on Instagram and he liked an old photo. So I sent him a message and I was like, you could just say hi. You don't have to creep my profile. And I guess that's where we started chatting.
That works.
Instagram love story.
I enjoy how Flatty seems to be at the center of like some of your life choices lately.
And is that good? I'm not sure.
I mean, Chance makes some decent decisions.
He has Brittany, so he must be doing something right.
Exactly. So you got to take a little bit of a trip this past year. And you got to go with Alyssa and Brittany, who have both been on this podcast. And you guys went to Vegas, which FYI, I'm super jealous about because I want to go back to Vegas at some point. But how did that kind of come together and what was it like?
Brittany was messaging. We have a group chat that we talk in, well, pretty much every day. And she was saying that she had to go down there for this teaching conference. And it didn't take long for Alyssa and I to decide that we better go with her, make sure she's safe and tucked into bed at night. Or that's how we sold it to Josh and Ray. So the three of us went to Vegas and yeah, we had a really good time. Saw some shows, had some drinks, had some laughs. It was a nice little getaway. 3 days, but it was good.
Any stories that can come back from Vegas, or are they all staying down there?
We're pretty good. Alyssa and I took a toll on a mechanical bull, something that I had never done before, and a few whiskeys got me on it, I guess.
Are you saying that we're not going to get you on the mechanical bull at Ranchman's in Calgary? Like,
well, I found out I'm pretty good at it, so you might see me on there.
Perfect. So Hadley turns two this year. Actually, she turns two the day after the Pinoca tarp sale.
Yeah, on May 7th is her birthday.
So any big exciting plans before we, I mean, you're going to be chasing around a two-year-old on the wagon trail. You're going to be tired.
Yeah, I know. Poor kid has her birthday in the middle of spring training, so we're just having a wiener roast at the farm. Family's gonna come over and have a little party. Nothing super exciting, but a two-year-old will be happy, I'm sure.
Just before we sign off, what are you hoping for this year? What's are you kind of looking forward to?
Honestly, I'm most looking forward to just hanging out with friends and seeing familiar faces. Hope that we have a good, clean running summer, stay consistent, and have happy, healthy horses and kids, and just keep it simple.
Go one day at a time?
One day at a time.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm excited that you're going to be on the wagon trail this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I'll see you there.
Thank you, Ashley, so much again for joining us on Women of the Wagons. I love the fact that we have now had Brittany, Ashley, and Alyssa on, and we got to hear a few of those stories about their Vegas adventures, and I think it's entertaining. I also, again, love the fact that Chance seems to, you know, play a little bit of a role in Ray coming back to the wagons and how Ray and Ashley met, kind of, sort of. So now taking a quick look at how things have gone for the first two shows of the WPCA Tour. So right now in the standings for the world, Kirk Sutherland is sitting first, and Kirk, of course, is going to be retiring this season. So every show that he's going to, it is his last time there as a driver. And then Doug Irvine is sitting second. Doug won the Dash and Grand Prairie. And then Chad Fike is sitting third, and Lane McGillivray is sitting fourth. And then we just left Bonneville last weekend, so Chance Vegan took the title in Bonneville during the Dash. So that was exciting for Chance and his outriders, Ryan Mad Dog McNeil and Rory Armstrong. So we're seeing some really cool storylines kind of come to fruition here this year. And then on the outrider side, you have Trey McGillivray, who's sitting first in those world standings. Rory Jarvis is sitting second, and Rory, of course, has won the world multiple times before. Ethan Mottawillo is third, and Brendan Nolan is fourth. And then you have the reigning outriding world champion, Hayden Mottawillo, sitting fifth. So there's about 200 points between Trey and Hayden. So there is still some wiggle room, and you're going to be seeing, I have a feeling, some of these guys move around, and you're going to be seeing some of these points move around a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And then if you head over to the CPCA, Jamie Labuschagne won the Yorkton Classic, and he was one of the CPCA drivers that actually ran in Grand Prairie back for the first show. So there was a lot that happened in those first two weekends, and there's a lot of exciting things. Ray right now is actually sitting within that top 10. He's sitting eighth in the world, so that's pretty exciting. And you're also seeing Aubrey Mottawillo, the current reigning world champion. He's at number 10. He's right there. So we're going to be seeing a lot of exciting things happen. Our next show is Medicine Hat, and I want to touch on something here, and it's something that is very important to me, because it's something that is important to this sport, and it's the importance of businesses feeling like they can market their companies on a Chuck Wagon tarp or with a Chuck Wagon team. And marketing and sponsorship is essential for the wagons. It's essential because the drivers and the teams and the families, when it comes to what they get out of that sponsorship or out of that company advertising on their tarp or on their social media or on their shirts or on their boxes, etc., that money is going directly back into the equine athletes and directly back into the sport. It's helping them get down the road. It's helping them pay for gas. It's helping them pay for food. It's hay, it's oats, it's the supplements that, you know, you've heard talked about on this show before. It helps go towards any veterinary or other care that these horses might need. And it is essential. It is essential to help these teams do what they can. And there are multiple opportunities still out there to, you know, go and, you know, advertise your company with them at one of the next stops that we have. We still have Medicine Hat, Dewberry, Pinoca. I know there's still nights available at the Calgary Stampede, and then you have High River, Strathmore, Dawson Creek, Rocky Mountain House, and Century Downs. So there is a lot of opportunities still out there. And if you're wanting, if you are sitting there and you're thinking, I'd love to get involved, I'd love to support this, but I don't know how, I don't know if I can afford it, reach out to a driver, reach out to one of your favorite teams and see if they are needing any help or any support, or see if they are looking for any sponsors. Even if you can help them find someone to, you know, go on their tarp or advertise with them. That's something that I find is really important right now. And it's a tough economy out there. We've talked about it before on the podcast, but it truly is. And it truly takes a team to make this sport happen. It takes a team to help get those horses on the track. It takes a team to help a driver. And that's, you know, a big part of what Women of the Wagons is. It's sharing the teams and the people behind the scenes, the wives, the daughters, the barnhands, everyone who is essential in helping make this sport what it is. So there's my little TED talk. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing me out on that. Now, again, Medicine Hat, it's our next stop. If you haven't caught them, we are doing daily recaps with the After the Ninth race review. And right after this episode drops, actually, tomorrow will be the first equine moment, and that's one that I'm pretty excited for. So if you are wanting to stay caught up on everything going on out there, make sure that, you know, you check us out, Instagram, Facebook, our beautiful new website. I have to thank Lovely Made for that. They just brought my vision and the vision of After the Ninth to this website. So it is extraordinary. And there's also some other exciting things coming down the pipe. So make sure to stay tuned to that. And I think that's enough of me rambling. I think you have all listened to me enough. So until next time, I'm Cass Patterson. And throw me the key.